The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
500 Moroccan girls have been transferred to the Spanish mainland after sickening reports of sexual assault occurring in the Spanish enclave of Ceuta. The assaults occurred following the surge of over 70,000, mostly male Moroccan immigrants, flooded into Ceuta 2 weeks ago, with between 5,000 to 8,000 remaining there to this day. Despite Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez ensuring the large majority of them have returned home. Authorities have revealed that over 2,000 minors were registered a part of the illegal migration into Ceuta, with 15 reports of sexual abuse overwhelming the limited resources in the small city, necessitating transfers to the Spanish mainland to protect the safety of the alleged victims.
Our country is being absolutely destroyed by illegal migration, by mass migration, by people who don't give a damn about our values, our system, the great civilization that we once were. Those of you who think that welcoming in barbarians is somehow civilized are yourselves incredibly uncivilized. You are allowing civil society to be assaulted by barbarians and making a virtue of it.
Most of these men, these young men that we're letting into the country, who mostly come from sub-Saharan Africa or the Middle East or Afghanistan, they're from inferior cultures to ours. They're from medieval cultures,
you know, uncivilized,
where they expect to be able to hit their wives, where they expect, you know, routine sexual harassment of women they don't know to be allowed, where they expect to be allowed to fiddle with children. They come from inferior cultures. You will not get this government to admit that.
It's heartbreaking because getting rid of these people is going to be virtually impossible. The United Kingdom is being opened up to assault, perpetual assault, which we will not be able to neuter. It's tragic.
Metro Detroit has descended into a hotbed of chaos as Antifa leftists clash with anti-Islam protesters and neo-Nazi sympathisers. It all started ahead of anti-Islam and far-right activist Jake Lang's appearance in Dearborn, Michigan, a place with one of the largest Muslim populations in the country, where he then addressed the council. Dearborn has the proportionally largest Muslim population in the US and the largest mosque in North America. Just a few weeks ago, around 45,000 people joined Dearborn's Arbaeen March, believed to be the largest in the US. That particular march. So this was to honour Imam Hussein, who is the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. So big Muslim population, nearly half of the city's 110,000 residents are of Arab descent. And this is what happened when Jake Lang visited Dearborn last year.
This is not America. This is an insurgency. They are taking over our country. They're taking over our country. They want us all dead. Let's go next.
Wow, what's happening right now? People are pushing.
This one. Wow. This is Dearborn, Michigan right now.
Yes, this is Dearborn, Michigan. Any races is not welcome. No races here. If you can't be peaceful,
every
race is welcome. If you're a racist, you're not welcome.
Tensions were so high in Dearborn yesterday at this so-called Christian Crusader March, as we saw the anti-Islamists clashing with police, that police had to be deployed in their riot gear. Now, it was an active and volatile situation. It was like a hotbed of religion, of different views. The protest lasted about an hour, but certainly got worse when Lang arrived.
yesterday we talked about just the need that we have in our world, in our nations, our society, for righteous government. That is coming. You do really, in looking at this world every day, the trend is downward. It just gets more evil. Like Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, the evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. It just gets worse. Sueda is off the headlines. Nobody's talking about it anymore. The Spanish premier, he says they all went back. They left Sueda. There's no problem. Nothing to see here. And girls are being attacked. They're being chased down. They're going to the bathroom at night. And they're being raped. But it's not newsworthy. It's over. That crisis is over. How much does this world need God's family government? How much does it need the return of Jesus Christ to this earth? That's where we have to set our minds. That's what keeps us hopeful. That's what keeps us positive. Mr. Armstrong made the point in Missing Dimension in Sex that the young people today, they're growing up in a world where obviously human nature just gets worse and worse because of Satan's influence, the fact that the devil's now cast to this earth and confined to this earth. But also he noted that hopelessness has set in. Young people are growing up and they're streaming across borders in some cases, going to a new land thinking that this will make things a lot better, and then bringing in all of their problems, their crimes. And it doesn't get better. It just makes things worse for other people. That's the way of this world. Judges 21, verse 25. We are here at the end of this week. Another week of broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at our website, thetrumpet.com, or at the Rumble channel, or at the YouTube channel, or any of your favorite podcasting platforms. You can listen to the show after the fact as well. Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and cursings chapters. It really does identify Israel today. As I've said so many times, it's not just the blessings. The greatest empire in the history of the world, in the case of Great Britain, and the greatest single superpower in the history of the world, in the case of the United States of America. But now the curses have set in. And what do those chapters say? Well, just to take a couple verses out of Deuteronomy 28, it says, "The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. The borrower is a servant to the lender." Have you noticed? Maybe you haven't. We have. It's in the news stack now every day. The economic collapse that's coming on America, the handwriting's on the wall. Other nations see it. They know it's coming. I mentioned the other day, America's all in on AI technology. That's going to rescue us, we think. $40 trillion in debt. People losing faith in the dollar, in U.S. treasuries. It's there. It's in the publications each day. And yet President Trump, for his part, he says there's nothing to worry about. The economy, it's hotter than it's ever been. We'll keep saying that until the crash sets in. Deuteronomy 28, it's happening. We're being overrun by strangers. And they're bringing in their customs, their religions, their crimes. And then we're pretending that there's no problem. How you know, you talk about government and righteous leadership and authority and all that God has taken. Just in the case of Spain, how does this radical left-wing socialist prime minister, how does he even get voted in? It happens all the time, though. Leaders, look at the leadership in California. There's no problem here. Homelessness, it's not a problem. We're not broke. We're doing better than ever. That's what they say. And then you look at the facts on the ground. It's a nightmare. Spiked online. Speaking of the Sueda case, that now is, it's off the news cycle. It was there for a couple days. 70,000 migrants, Muslim migrants, young men, military-aged men. They just came pouring into Spain. But that was only a two-day crisis, I guess. Women and girls are not safe, it says. There have been at least 15 reported cases of sexual assault, including allegations of rape, while many other women claim to have been sexually harassed. A significant proportion of the victims are underage girls. In one incident alleged to have occurred last week, three men, said to be brothers, were caught attempting to sexually abuse a 10-year-old girl. One woman told reporters, "A lot of guys are trying to attack the girls every night. Sometimes just when you go to the toilet, they follow you." It says now Spain is planning to move 500 migrant girls from Ceuta to the European mainland. And of course, the illegal immigrants, they're pouring into the mainland as well. Not just the victims. There's another angle to this on Britain. We'll get to that in just a minute. As I said a couple weeks ago when this story broke, that's like the back door to the European continent. And you see all these other neighbors of Spain locking down their borders because they know how horrible this crisis is. They know what Europe is inviting in. And as far as inviting in strangers, it seems like Britain and America lead the way. We certainly saw it during the auto pen years. Millions and millions just pouring into America. Spiked online, it says, in Britain, the list of women who have been murdered, raped, or assaulted by migrants grows by the day in Britain. And here again, British leaders, they're there to say, it's not a big deal, it's not a big problem. Listen, we're arresting all of the people that offend Islam. If they say something offensive online, we'll put them behind bars. We're becoming more effective and influential and powerful and prosperous. Look at what we're doing to try to prop up Islam, to try to be multicultural. It says in response, the Home Office has now produced a brightly colored picture book to be issued, this is in the UK, to be issued to men illegally entering the UK, informing them that having sex with girls under the age of 16 is rape and it's against the law. They're going to send out pamphlets to the military-aged men to tell them, listen, if you're going to have sexual intercourse with someone, just make sure they're over 16. If they're 16 or under, it's rape. This is madness. A pamphlet. What a shame. How embarrassing. Where are the leaders? What would Winston Churchill issue a picture book to all of these illegals pouring into Britain? Saying, hey, just, you know, steer clear of the 16-year-olds or those that are younger. Be careful. We love having you here. We appreciate you inviting yourself into our country. We're here to give you social programs and things, a financial boost. Just be careful when you're with our British girls. says this makes clear that the British state knowingly permits men who need to be told that raping children is wrong to enter the country, but allows high levels of uncontrolled migration to continue regardless. Send out the picture books, but don't secure the borders. How is this in any way a display of righteous government or even love for your own people? Okay, so Mr. Armstrong said it was love for the empirical self, for what's yours. Loving your own, your nation, your family, it's certainly not God's love. God's love transcends that. But where is even, like Paul said in 2 Timothy, where's the natural affection? Where is the natural love that you should have for your own British subjects? Or for your own American citizens in Dearborn? Or wherever it is? Just invite worldliness, lawlessness, evil doing, just invite it into the country. And then send out a picture book. And everything will settle down. Soweda settles down. The UK, illegal immigration, that settles down. Everything settles down. Douglas Murray. It says Middle England is finally waking up to the immigrant crisis. People are waking up in Dearborn. In England, in Spain. The basic idea of accelerationism is that there are certain flaws in the societal structure which, if pushed, could bring things to their inevitable conclusion more quickly. There's a right-wing version of accelerationism that has started to bubble up a little more volubly of late. So, as he says, there's those on the left and right that in some ways are just encouraging this so that it brings us to this crisis, this tragedy, and then maybe finally it'll be dealt with. It'll be so severe. It'll be so tragic, so much suffering that we can finally correct it. All the problems can finally be dealt with. Says if legal and illegal migration continue to speed up, so this belief goes, then a greater proportion of the public will finally realize what a disastrous model it was. So here's where we are. This is in the freest countries of the world, Britain, America. There's so much ignorance. That's what he's saying. There's so much ignorance. People believe that they're just not going to wake up to what's happening until it's right at their doorstep. And then finally, this is just another way of highlighting the sickness in Israel. For decades, it says, left-wing and putatively right-wing governments have managed to disguise many of the downsides of mass migration by making sure the migrants are housed in working class areas all across the country. This has proved a brilliant wheeze, because if any migrants hang around the streets and start propositioning schoolgirls, you can expect to snooker the locals in a number of ways. You can just sweep things under the rug. You can pretend the problems aren't there. You can say, well, it's only a few girls. And you can send out your picture books and make sure that you're trying to protect the public, protect your own citizens. Says here, first, you can expect them to be quiet about it. Second, you can expect that if the locals do object, who cares? Who cares? It's in Middle England. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Just ignore it. Listen, we're in London. Now, London has its certainly has its share of crime and evil and rape. Later on, he says, all this is likely to bring some of our nation's problems home in a way that will be harder and harder for Middle England to ignore. Accelerationists on the right at this point think, and then they will realize that we were right. But it's not inevitable that things will fall out that way. Remember that communism in the 20th century killed tens of millions of people. Yet there are still people who believe it was a good thing. Why should the multiculturalist, open borders types hand over their political philosophy any more easily. This, we've been indoctrinated. We've invited this in. We're brainwashed daily. And the media, for their part, they're there. The regime media in Britain, in the U.S., they're there. It's refreshing to hear, you know, that station down in Australia to give some pretty good commentary, but that's rare to just tell you what's happening. Here's what's happening straight up in Soweto, in the U.K., in Dearborn. And, of course, you always have Nick Shirley right in the midst of it all, a courageous young reporter doing what the New York Times should be doing. And then when it's Soweto and the rapes and all the little girls that are being moved to the mainland, it's Spiked Online that covers the story, not the Washington Post, not a British publication on the front lines. No, no. Melanie Phillips, America's Becoming America, Stan. She wrote that book many years ago. Londonistan was the title. Now it's Americastan. Phillips says over next month's Labor Day weekend, Michigan Senate hopeful Abdul El Said is to speak at a conference that will platform a rogues gallery of Islamic extremists. Well, he's running for political office. The Michigan Senate, the conference in Detroit, is the 63rd annual convention of the Islamic Society of North America, a Muslim Brotherhood affiliate that was an unindicted co-conspirator of the 2007 Holy Land terrorism funding trial. Phillips says here, other speakers among a plethora of Islamists include, well, it's the who's who among radical Islamists. And this guy's probably going to be voted into office. Further on, she says here, the conquest agenda doesn't need many Muslims. What matters is their disproportionate rate of both extremism and public engagement. They're out there, they're active, and you could dismiss it and say, well, it's just a few voices, a few firebrands, a few radicals. But their voice is amplified because of our sickness. She says in another article, wise up, America. What is happening in America? What is happening to our nations? This, again, it's another piece by Melanie Phillips. It's nevertheless a desperate move to end the current impasse, which is due to Trump's obsessive belief in the art of the deal. She's talking, I skipped over it, but she's talking about the war effort in Iran and how that's been dialed back, and now it's economic D-Day. And she says that can, you know, be a powerful tool in war. But the blockade, it just shows how desperate the Trump administration is to get out of this quagmire, and it also shows how much trust it puts in deal making. She says this rests on a naivete which presents a fundamental problem when dealing with the Middle East and the Islamic world. Further on, she says President Trump fails to grasp the implacable nature of the Shiite Iranian regime. You heard the other day from Jared Kushner. He was talking about how wonderful the dialogue has been. He's just loved it. Witkoff, all of them, the chief diplomats, the ambassadors for peace, they're going to be crying in the end at how foolish they've been. Melanie Phillips says here, that means a failure to grasp the Brotherhood strategy for conquering America and the West for Islam. She says the United States is therefore making a fundamental strategic error, going far beyond Iran by embracing those it should be neutralizing. Reaching out to the enemy, embracing the enemy, and really, in many ways, neutralizing any resistance at home, any criticism at home. Or neutralizing little Judah in the Middle East as it tries to defend itself, as it tries to purge Gaza and Lebanon of Hamas and Hezbollah. They've got to do it, though, with their hands tied behind their backs. Well, I had a fair bit here. I think I'm going to let the second half of the show. We're going to put the latest Key of David. It's on overcoming the God of this world. That plays this Sunday on a TV station near you. If you haven't seen the Key of David in a while, the guys have been just trying to add a few bells and whistles, making it a little easier for people to contact the church for the free literature that we offer. This weekend, of course, we offer the Overcoming Satan booklet, a wonderful little booklet that we haven't offered in quite a while. So that'll be playing this weekend. As I say, you can look at thetrumpet.com to locate the TV log. Today, we also have this week's segment of World Watch. So in looking at the clock, that means we're going to be going just a little bit over, but we won't charge you for any of those extra minutes. So we'll leave it to World Watch, and then after that, this weekend's episode of The Key of David. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us today. We thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.
The German military now has its highest number of personnel since conscription was abolished in 2011. In a nation beset by bad economic and political news, Deutsche Welle hailed this as a comparatively rare success story. The Bundeswehr employs 186,700 troops as of July 31st, the Defense Ministry reported August 17th. This means that its plan to increase that number to 260,000 by the mid-2030s is on course. The German military has grown 2% since July last year. Applications to join the military are up 26% year-on-year. German authorities thought recruiting the extra soldiers they wanted would be a real challenge, but so far they've had no shortage of volunteers. The Trumpet and its predecessor, The Plain Truth, have warned for decades that Germany would reunite, remilitarize, and become a formidable military force once again. To learn more about how Germany's rise fits in with Bible prophecy, read Decades of Warnings About Germany. On August 13th, Saudi Arabia announced that a coalition of 39 countries will patrol the Red Sea. The Multinational Maritime Defense Coalition is based at the Saudi Red Sea port of Jeddah. The group is almost certainly designed to deter the Houthi terror group in Yemen, although the coalition statements did not mention it by name. Many members of the coalition have directly fought with the Houthis or their sponsor Iran within the past few months. Others, like Bangladesh and Nigeria, are far away from the Middle East but are majority Muslim. Intriguingly, Pakistan is in the alliance, contributing its deputy leader under a Saudi commander. Saudi Arabia has signed two separate mutual defense treaties with Pakistan. The first, signed in 2025, was almost activated against Iran sometime in March or April this year. The second was signed August 7th. Pakistan shares a direct border with Iran and has nuclear weapons. Pakistan's involvement in the Red Sea reflects its increasingly powerful role in protecting fellow Sunni Muslim states from Shia Iran and its proxies. The Red Sea will play an important role in end-time prophecy. To learn more, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's article, The Battle for the Red Sea. Trade between Europe and China became a lot simpler last week as China authorized Deutsche Bank as the first non-Chinese bank to clear payments in Chinese currency in Europe. The agreement will make it much easier for European businesses to convert euros directly to yuan without using the dollar as an intermediary. Deutsche Bank is already a core part of Europe's banking and trade infrastructure, so this new deal will help many more European companies change currency direction. Deutsche Bank's China president, Liu Yin, called the connection a direct bridge to the Chinese financial system. One major factor behind America's wealth has been its financial dominance, but But if the world no longer needs dollars to trade, then investing in the U.S. government is no longer safe. Financial curses are already plaguing America. To learn about our financial future, read When Will the Dollar Collapse? To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Do you young people know how Satan is trying to get to you? Do you know what a huge target you are to him? Because he knows what's going on here, and he knows what God is doing, and he hates it. He doesn't like young people to obey God and get ready for the family of God. Oh, how he hates that.
That's my father way back in 1998, and you should know that he said that to a group of teenagers. It was at a youth camp. He talked about Satan the devil. He talked about how Satan wants to devour our young people. Now, to some, to many, in fact, that may seem like a pretty harsh message to get across at a youth camp. In the world today, you see the devil, he's represented as kind of a cartoonish figure. He's the punchline of a good joke. People don't take it seriously, all that the Bible says about the devil. But Satan is real. The Apostle Paul said that the spirit of Satan works in the children of disobedience. How about that? So should we go to our children and tell them lies about the devil or about God even or about religion? Or should we tell them the truth? Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to The Key of David. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Today, we're going to spotlight this wonderful little booklet, Overcoming Satan. Yes, the Bible says we are to overcome him. We have to go to war against our adversary, the devil. We have to fight. We have to put on the whole armor of God, as we'll see from scriptures a little bit later. This is the truth of the Bible. We are at war. I want to give you a paragraph or a quote from this little booklet. You can order today. Go to our website, keyofdavid.com, or you can text in your request or call our operators. There's many different ways that you can order the free literature, and that's important too. There's no cost or obligation. Everything we offer on this program is offered without cost or obligation. While you're at it, while you request the booklet, make sure you subscribe to The Trumpet Magazine. And as far as today's topic goes, this is the AI gamble. The world is all in with it. For the last decade or so, we've talked about how much social media has harmed our young people, how much being addicted to screen time hurts our young people, how much it dumbs them down. And then here we are now moving on to AI. We're hardly taking a second to correct the ills of the past. And now we're just all in on something brand new and something, by the way, that's very, very dangerous. What about the spirit behind these movements? Does anyone care to ask or to consider, to stop, to ponder? What if this is harmful to children or adults or both? This is from Overcoming Satan. My father says, you cannot hang on to this truth unless you are willing to fight and conquer the devil. He's talking about God's truth. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the Laodiceans, they didn't love the truth. And so God sent them strong delusion. And most of them went along with this great falling away or this great rebellion against the truth, against God's government, against the work that God was doing in these last days through his end time Elijah. It says God assures us in his word that we can conquer Satan, and he shows us how. With God on your side, you won't have to fear the devil. So You don't want to go to one extreme or the other. You don't want to just make him out to be a cartoonish figure. And you don't have to walk, on the other hand, you don't have to walk around in fear that he's going to crush you at any moment. Not if you're close to God. Not if you're drawing on the strength and the power of God above. With God on your side, you won't have to fear the devil. You will always be a step ahead of him. Those who do conquer and overcome the devil enjoy the kind of successful, happy, abundant lives that God wants all of us to live. God wants you to live the abundant life. God wants you to put on the whole armor and to stand against, to stand firm against the devil. But you have to be equipped with God's truth. You have to put on that holy armor, and you have to wield the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God. You have to use the Bible. Notice what it says in Revelation 3 and verse 21. It says, "To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne." This is Christ speaking. "Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." You mean we have to overcome the devil the same way that Jesus did? That's what it says right here in this verse. And the word for overcome, if you look into the Greek, it means to conquer. How come you don't hear this in the world of traditional Christianity? Why don't they talk about the devil? Why don't they talk about his awesome power? Why don't they talk about the fact that you have to overcome and conquer him? Back in Revelation 2, this is verse 26, same message. "And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." So if we overcome, we rule with Christ, we're given power over the nations. You don't hear that message in traditional Christianity. You just don't. It says here, "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron." He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Herbert Armstrong, he wrote this article, "Seven Proofs of God's True Church." You need to know where God's work is. You need to know where the true church is. He said in this article from 1979, "The purpose and function of the church is to back up with loyal support the apostles as their part in the Great Commission and as God's means of allowing them to overcome Satan, developing God's holy righteous character within them through the Holy Spirit, thus qualifying them also to sit with Christ in his throne in Jerusalem with power for ruling the whole earth." God brings us into his church so that we can receive training, so that we can go to battle against the devil. We have to come in and fight. It's not just a shallow accept Jesus and don't make any changes thereafter. It's not once saved, always saved. It's he that endures to the end that is saved. Matthew 24, 13. What does it mean to endure? What do we have to endure? We have to fight. We have to drive ourselves. We have to persevere. We have to diligently study the Bible. We have to fervently pray. These are all admonitions in the scriptures. So why don't most people do them? Most people are hearers only. They don't do. They don't overcome. They're not interested in conquering. All they're interested in doing is drifting through life. We are in training. If you're in God's church, if you're diligently seeking the truth of God and pouring your heart into your study and your prayers, then you become convicted. Early on, you realize, I've got to make some monumental changes because I see how the prince of the power of the air has been working in the children of disobedience, like Paul said in Ephesians 2:2. I see the devil's influence in my life. I see how wicked and deceitful my human heart is, the mind, in other words. And so I've got to go to work. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 in Moffat, it says, "Even if my gospel is veiled, it is only veiled in the case of the perishing." The gospel is veiled? You mean there are a lot of people that couldn't understand or receive the truth as Paul presented it because they were blind to it? Well, that's what it says. Right here in the next verse, you'll see the word blind. But as far as nations, and their understanding being veiled when you have some time. Look at Isaiah 25 and verse 7. It says there, "And he will destroy in his mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations." That's what happens when Jesus gets back to this earth and when the government of God, the family of God, is ruling this earth, ruling the nations of this earth. The veil that covers all nations will be crushed, finally. And then mankind will be able to see the truth and will no longer be blinded to the truth. Notice verse 4. We're still here in 2 Corinthians 4. It says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not." Who is this God? This God of this world that has blinded the minds of men to the true gospel. Who is it? Most people believe the God of this world is the great creator God. Your Bible says the God of this world is Satan the devil. And furthermore, it says we've got to overcome Satan. That's the point of this wonderful little booklet. It's a short study, but a very deep one at that. And I would encourage you to request a free copy so that you can begin your study and start to put on the armor of God so that you might be able to stand against the devil. That's Ephesians 6. We'll go there if we have time. The God of this world, it says, blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan loves it when this world dwells in darkness. And that was Jesus Christ's assessment of this world in John 3. If it was in darkness in the first century, if it was in darkness 2,000 years ago, what do you think God's assessment would be today? Look at all of the delusion, the fakery, the phoniness, the lies, the deception. Look at the fighting, the warfare, the division, the political strife. Look at all the malnourished people around the world, people barely living in poverty in certain parts of the world. And then we've got all the physical goods we could ever ask for in this part of the world. And yet we're impoverished spiritually. We're impoverished morally. John 14:30 says, "The prince of this world," referring to Satan the devil, he has a lot of power. He's the God of this world. He's the prince of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He surcharges the air with his attitudes, his impulses, his ideas, his agenda. And if we're not vigilant, if we're not on guard, if we're not looking to God, if we're not relying on God's power, we're going to be totally deceived. Notice Revelation 12 and verse 7. It says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and they prevailed not." A great spiritual war. Did you know that this goes on? Did you know there's war in the spiritual realm? Do you see the spirit realm? Well, of course, you can't see it with the naked eye, but are you aware of it? Are you aware of the devil's influence? Do you see his fingerprints all over our society? And if so, what does that mean? What is it leading to? What's the solution? How do we rid the world of the devil's influence? It's all contained in the good book, the Word of God, your sword. This is your weapon. If you don't know this book, you don't have your weapon. You're not fighting an offensive battle. You're backpedaling, or worse, you're drifting, or worse, you're totally deceived. God can open your eyes to the truth. He can open your mind to the truth if you'll humble yourself, if you'll be as a little child, submissive, meek, looking to God, telling God like the prophet Jeremiah did in Jeremiah 10, "I don't know the way to direct my steps. I don't know where I'm going. I don't have the answers. I don't have the truth, but give it to me. Please open my mind. Teach me, O God, your statutes, your judgments, your commandments." Pray that prayer. Humble yourself and watch your understanding begin to grow and deepen. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing to receive instruction from God, to receive it and to use it. Revelation 12 and verse 7, and there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels. Well, we read that. It says, and Michael, or rather the devil and his demons, they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. No more place for Satan and the demons in heaven. Now they're confined to this earth. Well, that can't be good for the occupants of this earth, can it? They're confined to this earth, our planet? Verse 9, it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels, that would be demons, were cast out with him. Now, this right here explains so much about our nations. It explains so much about America and the problems America has and the wars that we see internationally and the fighting and the diplomacy on the one moment. And then the next moment, we're back at war. We're back bombing. It tells you why this world is the way it is. It's because of this. It's because of Revelation 12:9. The whole world is deceived. That's not me talking. That's not my opinion. That's Revelation 12:9. How come you don't hear this message more in the world of traditional Christianity? Well, maybe you should ask the pastor, the preacher. Why? Why don't we hear more about the devil? Why is he made into a cartoonish figure? He's real. And his influence is described all through the Bible, and it's not good. It's not good. Verse 12, it says, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. So here's Satan and his demons. They're kicked out of heaven. The heavens rejoice. Finally, we have some peace and not all this fighting and bickering. But woe unto the earth, it says. We're in that period of woe, of bitter affliction, as we've talked about before, regarding another prophecy. Head-to-toe sickness, as it says in Isaiah 1. Here again, the dragon was cast out, verse 9 says. The serpent called the devil, Satan. And he deceives the whole world. How do you overcome the arch deceiver that is Satan the devil? Well, here's your field manual. Here's your instruction book, together with the Holy Bible. Read it with your Bible. Study it with your Bible. Don't believe me. Believe what the Bible says. That's what we want to point you to. Just look into the Bible and see for yourself what the Bible says about our adversary, Satan the devil. We'll be right back.
Get up to date with the day's most important headlines and learn how the Bible is ahead of the news. Watch Stephen Fleury's daily podcast, The Trumpet Daily. Live streamed weekdays at 11 a.m. Central Time, Stephen Fleury explains world events and where they are headed using Bible prophecy. He also hosts interviews with leading authors, journalists, and thinkers. The Bible explains world news happening now. You can see how. Watch The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Fleury. Bring the Bible into the news each weekday with Stephen Fleury at trumpetdaily.com. Watch on demand at YouTube, Rumble, Roku, or your favorite podcast app.
We are called to conquer as Christ did. We have to conquer the devil. We have to conquer the world. We have to conquer our own human nature. And this verse is specifically about you. In this Laodicean era, and it's a war, it's a war that has eternal consequences. There are going to be winners and there are going to be losers. Eternally.
That's my father again some years ago. addressing members of the church, saying we're in a war and there's going to be winners and losers. There are casualties in war, but you don't have to be a casualty. You can overcome the devil. God will empower you if you look to God and you look to his power. If you don't, you're no match for the devil. We gave a program recently on America under attack, this communist infiltration in the United States. It very nearly blotted out the U.S. and even the name of America. But God intervened to save America. And I didn't dwell on the point in that particular program, not that long anyway. The fact that there's a spirit behind this communist infiltration, this attack through whatever political movement, you could call it whatever, but the spirit behind it, that's the root cause. And that spirit is Satan the devil. Satan would love to destroy America. He'd love to destroy you. He'd love to destroy your family, your children. And he's working hard at that. Be assured. He's working hard to blot out life, to blot out truth. Look at how hard we had to fight for Mystery of the Ages and other writings by Herbert Armstrong in court. Why would a religious group want to keep a book out of print? It's because of Satan the devil. In that America Under Attack program, I went through a couple verses in Ephesians 6. Let's turn over there again. Ephesians 6 and verse 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So if you're reading that correctly, you see that unless I have the armor of God on me, I'm not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm going to be easy prey. He'll easily pick me off. 1 Peter 5 says he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Without God's help, without God's power, without God's armor, without God's sword, we will be devoured by the devil. Verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, these are sobering verses. But as I said at the start, coming at our young people, imagine giving this message to 13, 14, 15-year-olds. And it's not like we're looking to scare people, but it is the truth, and they need to know. They need to know about this world. They need to know about the God of this world. They need to know what to resist against. And they need to know about the armor that they need to put on. Verse 13, it says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand." You have to do everything you can to stand firm with God, to draw on God's power. You can't be passive in this war. You can't be neutral. You have to go on the offensive. Most of the armor discussed here is for defensive purposes, but then Paul gets to the sword, and now that's a weapon. The sword is an offensive weapon. And so God wants you, yes, God wants us to defend ourselves using this spiritual armor, but he also wants for us to go on the offensive, to take the battle to the devil. There's a verse that actually talks about Satan fleeing from you. I don't know if we'll have time to get there, but verse 17, it says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The sword is the word of God. The sword is the Holy Bible. This is your offensive weapon. That in itself tells you something about your approach, or the approach that you should take to Bible study. It's not just a sleepy time read. You are opening your Bible at your study desk with your Bible pens and your notebook beside you, maybe some literature that we offer freely on this program, and you are digging in. You are diligent. You're a good workman, pleasing God, searching the scriptures like the Bereans. You have to. That's your weapon. That's how you stand against the devil. Notice 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. We'll just go through these quickly. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself before God's mighty hand. God has mighty power. God is much more powerful than the devil. Verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God cares about you. God will defend you. God will back you. God will empower you. Verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The word vigilant in verse 8, it means to take heed lest through remission and indolence some destructive calamity suddenly overtake you. You have to be on guard. You have to be vigilant. That means, like Mr. Armstrong said in an article from 1980, that means that we have to really pour our hearts into studying the Bible and praying to God and occasional fasting, like Jesus did in Matthew 4. That's what he did to overcome Satan. And sometimes we have to go through that exercise to really be spiritually discerning, spiritually strong, in good training spiritually. Verse 9, it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, resist against him. James 4 adds that if you submit yourself to God and resist the devil, that the devil will actually flee from you. That's James 4 and verse 7. The devil will actually flee from you if you submit to God and you resist against Satan the devil. For much more on this subject, make sure that you call our operators today or text in your request. You can go to keyofdavid.com and order the literature today online, or if you just want to read it online, you can go to our website, thetrumpet.com, as well. That's all we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.